Welcome to another edition of Missing Link, and we have a very special guest today, John Shipton, father of Julian Assange. My first question would be, your son is 49 years old now. Would you have thought that you have to take care of him once again because he doesn't have the possibility to defend himself now? He's incarcerated. So how do you feel about that? How is it for a father to see his son there?
You know, thinking of back when children are little, if you give them a small lolly, they're delighted, they're over the moon. Now we have to take on the United States to get some approval. But it's pretty distressing going to Belmarsh. Julian has to walk down empty hallways, so they clear all the hallways. And he comes down to the meeting room or to the meal room with all the hallways cleared. And then after the meetings are over, all the hallways are cleared in the jail, and Julian walks back up with two guards, one on either side, empty hallways. He's in his cell 22 hours a day. At last they bought a computer, which in fact is no good for him to help prepare his case. So there's a restriction on material, restriction on goods, restriction on access to friends and family, restrictions on ordinary human discourse. This is for a man who's committed no crime, none at all. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, in a situation like that, I know from Nelson Mandela, for example, it is very important if there are at least some people where you think that they see you as a human being. Is there something like this there, or is he really also isolated by all the wardens and whatever he meets, or are there people who show him sympathy?
They have a religious church meetings or chapel meetings, and he's allowed to go to a chapel meeting. So going to the chapel meetings is good human intercourse. Yeah, you get to meet other people and talk. Mostly that's why the prisoners go to the chapel meetings. In Julian's case, it's a Catholic priest who has been very helpful. As Julian's, is suffering from all the effects of psychological torture. In the last 3 years, the intensity of the discomfort in the embassy increased until in the last year there were ceaseless surveillance. Everything, every meeting was recorded and filmed, every person that came there had their phones taken away and the numbers taken, their passports photographed, their computers, if they brought them, opened, and the serial numbers taken. The confidential briefings with lawyers were recorded. You can see online videos from El Pais show Julian being examined by doctors. In conference with lawyers, even to the extent that they put a microphone in the ladies' toilet, because Julian and the lawyers thought that, they would be decent enough not to microphone the ladies' toilet. But so they held meetings there in this little cubicle, the toilet, but indeed they did. They microphoned. I mean, then they sold it, tried to extract larcenously $3 million for all of the information. And then UC Global gave them, or sold the all the footage and all the information to the CIA. Mm. Everything. So the preparation for Julian's case, the extradition case, or the bail case, the Americans knew it all, know it all. It's a terrible crime. Julian was, as you saw on TV, Julian was dragged from the embassy by seven men, thrown in the back of a van, and 50 minutes later, without chance to prepare himself for defence, was sentenced at court for a minor infraction, breaking bail, to 50 weeks maximum security in Belmarsh prison. That's 2 weeks under the maximum for committing no crime.
Had he gone outside, he would have immediately been fetched by police. Yeah, it was a catch-22 situation.
It was, because Julian developed a tooth abscess, and doctors suggested that it was going to be dangerous for his heart and for his health if he didn't get it fixed. So his lawyers applied to the United Kingdom to travel across their land in order to see a hospital, go to the hospital. They refused. What they wanted was for Julian to be carried out on a stretcher. And they, in 2013, the Swedish prosecuting authority said, no, we can't carry this case any further. We want out. We want to leave it. The Crown Prosecutor, the UK Crown Prosecuting Service replied, we have the documents, replied, you're not getting cold feet, are you? There's more to this than a simple extradition case. So it went on, four prosecutors, three times the case is abandoned, 9 years.
That was Sweden. Was it wasn't even the ladies who wanted. They just wanted an AIDS test. That
yes,
was
that's
the, they were not interested in getting him for
no,
rape. Or that
no.
is that was came from a state attorney who
yes.
wanted to have their case there. But going back to that, I would
yes.
like to understand what this means. I mean, in which conditions Julian Assange is held, and this is now for 9 years. But in Belmarsh prison, what does a day for him? What is his life like there?
Well, it's 22 hours. I mean, aside from the 22 hours in a... So Nils Melzer, the United Nations rapporteur on torture, wrote that he expected that Julian would feel the effects of the psychological torture and smearing and mobbing that had gone on for those years and years. 10 days later, Julian collapsed and had to be admitted to the hospital ward for depression and catastrophic weight loss, though he lost 15 kilo. So this was expected. It's an expected result of psychological torture. His day, I don't actually know what it consists of, 22 hours in the cell, a meal delivered, a consultation with lawyers over a video link. I imagine that's just about it, reading all the time.
Does he have access to books now?
Yes, he has a good range of books now, yes.
In the beginning, that even that
no,
wasn't...
No, no, they, I think for 2 months they held back his letters so that one delivery had 500 letters in it.
Psychological torture, that
yes.
is something that I think that needs to be explained, because Nils Melzer in his report that there's the it can kill somebody. It is not something to be taken lightweight. Maybe you can expand a little bit on what does it mean and what are the effects in terms of the psyche and also the body.
Well, there's absolutely no privacy. There's no relief whatsoever. This is torture. There's no minute of privacy in anything you do. Toilet, brushing your teeth, sleeping. There's always somebody listening, always watching. The staff are rude. You make an appointment with your solicitor. The solicitor's not allowed in. You make an food deliveries are delayed. On one occasion, I remember there was no food deliveries for the entire weekend in the embassy. Everywhere you look in the public newspapers, there's people saying that you're this, that, or the other, or you're mad, or you've endangered lives, or constant deluge of insult, inconvenience, hostility. This going on for years and years is just about impossible to recover from. It can kill you. For a human being, a normal human being who takes their food and sustenance emotionally from meeting other people and having simple conversations, Julian had none of that.
It has also a physical effect. If you're under that constant stress, that is something, yeah, maybe you can explain to us what happens.
You lose your muscle texture, you lose weight, the purposefulness of life disappears, so you waste away.
Yeah, I think that is important to understand that when Nils Melzer, who was a specialist for that, said there's the possibility that Julian Assange could die under these circumstances,
yes,
that needs to be understood, that
yes,
this is not an exaggeration. This is it's a reality. Yeah, so it's possible to run a person down by keeping him in isolation and under this knowledge of constant surveillance.
Yes.
Yeah, they're really why? I mean, the point is, let's say in the case of why is Julian Assange in the prison? We know all these allegations, as I said, Sweden, that is quite ridiculous if you look very close into it. I had Swedish friends asking, and they said it's not even that the two, they wanted rather Julian as a trophy. Yeah, it was that, and it was a little bit of that he was not so much interested in them, yeah, which was kind of a kick for them, but they were not malevolent to him, really. Yeah, they didn't want him to be in jail. This was a state attorney. But what is the what are the accusations aside from these fake stories that we heard for many years? What is the point? Why is the United States so much after your son?
Let's start from the beginning. It's a crime not to report a crime.
Yeah.
Okay, you can get locked up for that. In the case of Julian and WikiLeaks, they published crime after crime committed by the United States and its allies in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and the sordid corruptions exercised in diplomatic posts all around the world by the United States. These are crimes, war crimes. If you take the most famous one as an example, collateral murder. You see 11 people, two of them journalists, just curious, walking down the street, murdered. You see them murdered. These are men and with the families, and just murdered, stack of bodies. One of the men, wounded, crawls along the gutter. A van pulls up. A Samaritan hops out of the van and to help this wounded man to hospital. They are both murdered. There's two children in the front of the van. They're both grievously wounded. This is a crime. This is a war crime. These people, their officers, their people in charge, need to face justice. As long as they pursue Julian and lock Julian up, they evade justice. Everybody focuses on false accusations against Julian. Nobody says, well, when are these murderers in the helicopter going to face trial? Nobody says, when is the officer who ordered the murder going to face trial? 1 million people lost their lives in Iraq. 1 million people. Millions were displaced. 1 million of those people displaced came to Germany. There are 2.6 million in Turkey. There's 1.6 million, 1.7 million in Jordan. Millions displaced. Country after country destroyed. I'll name them for you if you wish. Yemen, Pakistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, and your next door neighbor here, Ukraine, destroyed. These are great crimes which Julian and WikiLeaks exposed. The cowards who commit these crimes focus on Julian to destroy him and WikiLeaks for exposing their crime, their monumental river of blood up to their nostrils that they wade through in order to accuse Julian of this, that, and the other.
What do they say? What is the official reason they give that they are after Julian?
The official reason is from the 1917 Espionage Act for espionage against the United States in 17 counts of espionage, covering the Iraq war, Afghan, and the cables. Interestingly, the Der Spiegel, The Guardian, The New York Times, El País contrived to get Julian and WikiLeaks to publish first so that they wouldn't be able to be blamed for publishing this material.
Mm-hmm.
But WikiLeaks, on the Monday when all of this material was published, had a glitch in their website, so they couldn't publish. They couldn't publish for a number of hours. So who actually published first were the New York Times, The Guardian, and Der Spiegel. But you find none of them, none of their editors, or their executives are facing 175 years in jail.
Probably later on when this method is established, yeah? That is one of the questions, really, is this... I wonder, for example, you said 70 cases. Would Watergate, if that would be published by WikiLeaks, would that be a crime now too under the laws and the ways of defining what is a crime by the United States? So is Watergate, the Pentagon Papers, Daniel Ellsberg, he spoke out for your son too, would that be a crime today?
Daniel was charged with 11 offences under the 1917 Espionage Act. But because in the United States, if you get evidence illegally, then the case can't go forward. You can't be tried. Well, that's what happened in the case of Daniel Ellsberg. They broke into his psychiatrist and so on. So the case couldn't forward. In Julian's case, the United States, through the CIA, illegally, wrongly collected evidence of surveillance, surveilled Julian in the embassy. Wrongly, illegally collected that evidence. So there's no sound basis for the extradition to go ahead. It must stop now, you know. There's no sound basis in law. Also, extraterritorial kidnapping, what I call judicial kidnapping. It happened to the chief executive officer of Huawei. It happened to Julian Assange. They exercise judicial kidnapping to take, in the case of Julian, somebody away who is an exemplar of exact news reporting with integrity, so you can check what WikiLeaks releases by simply going online. You can do your own analysis. You can read WikiLeaks' analysis, or you can read your analysis. You can check it.
Mm-hmm. I think WikiLeaks has never been, could never have been, was never accused, or they could never prove that they published anything which is so-called fake news. Up to now, I think everything was correct, right?
Yes, yeah. It's an exemplary record. Another reason, I imagine, another reason why they want to destroy Julian. Integrity embarrasses them. They have none.
I mean, it's quite clear. Looking at the case, there are four countries involved. There was a lot of pressure on Sweden. Then there was a lot of pressure on Ecuador, yeah? And Ecuador had a change of government in between, and that was really sealed Julian's fate for being caught by the British police. But it's enormously what they offered. They offered, I think, 4 billion in as a
yes, I think total of 11 billion. First down payment 2 billion. It seemed to. President Morales of Ecuador, I don't think
Morales is Bolivia.
Yeah.
Moreno, you mean?
Or? No. The president of Ecuador, mm-hmm. Morales. I don't think he needed much encouragement. He felt that the future of Ecuador was endangered if he persisted in giving asylum to Julian. I don't think it was, but he did, yeah.
Have you talked to the president before who gave asylum and made Julian a? I think he was an Ecuadorian. Got the citizenship of Ecuador.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Rafael Correa, he is having his own difficulties, and he uses the same lawyer that Julian uses, Balthazar Garzón. He's from Spain, a very, very competent man. There is some threat to extradite Rafael Correa back to Ecuador and throw him in a dungeon.
It's like Julian Assange is like the enemy of state number one. Yeah, that is
seems to be. Yes.
Yeah, and that is extraordinary. So, what do you think is really so dangerous about him and WikiLeaks? I mean, the things that we are told, why they always worked around. It was the case of rape and also the going against the bail. This is all, it's bullshit reasons. This is not what the real reason is. So why, what is it that makes Julian Assange so dangerous to the United States?
Well, he's a fine example of integrity, and they have none. Julian, unlike the foreign policy of the United States, has brought immense benefits to millions of people, many states, communities. I'll give you some examples. Trafigura was dumping toxic waste off the east coast of Africa, destroying the livelihoods of the coastal villagers. WikiLeaks reported that. The Chagos Islands, you might know as the Air Force Base, Diego Garcia. The United States flies B-52 bombers out of there. The Chagos Islanders were all moved in their entirety from their homelands and dumped in Mauritius. They brought a case in the International Court of Justice against the United Kingdom, won the case based upon the information that WikiLeaks released in its cables. Thanks to Julian and thank you to Chelsea Manning. These are great gifts. If you want to see what the United States ambassador thinks of your president or this or that politician or businessman, you just look up the cables and you will see the United States attitude. If you want to know overall what the aims of the United States are in relation to your own country, you can do an analysis, very simple. We've done it for Australia, what the United States wants. And what they want is control of intellectual property, copyright, and that sort of thing. They want control. They want to limit the inventive capacity of other communities by extending copyright in evergreen circumstances. Whatever copyright ties up intellectual product and forbids its exploration by placing fees upon the use. Nobody charges for the use of Shakespeare. Nobody charges for the use of Goethe. And yet all of us benefit from Shakespeare's and Goethe's insights into human nature.
I wonder how was the discussion and is the discussion in Australia? From a German legal point of view, it's our Supreme Court, Bundesverfassungsgericht, said that the freedom of speech is constitutional. It's the basis of a democracy, and freedom of the press is an outflow of that right. So we have already heard that WikiLeaks has never published anything that could be considered a lie. It is all factual. It is correct. So usually, I think all the media in Australia should have noticed that this is an attack on the foundations of democracy. It's I can understand that it's a terrible case for the Americans because their free reign of power does not work if somebody's controlling them. But that's exactly what the media are for. So was there an outcry, at least in Australia, when they said they have one of our citizens and he's in jail because he does what a journalist should do?
No. The Australian government, up to the last year, was complicit in Julian's torture and arbitrary detention. Yeah, they were complicit. They no longer are. The movement in Australia to bring Julian home, in that case, to home, to Australia, is very strong. Every day, one institution announces and pressures the government, one or other institution announces and pressures the government to return Julian to Australia. So far, the government doesn't move so far, but they can't resist the pressure for much longer.
Is there a united front in the journalists? Are they
united? Journalists are united now. Mm-hmm. They weren't before. Now they are. Yesterday, the Journalists Association in Australia, the MEAA, made a demand upon the government that Julian be returned to Australia. Mm-hmm. When you say democracy, any simple decision which requires discretion, a choice between this and that, you explore for information. And this is what the freedom of the press brings. Just brings simple information so that you can choose this over that. It's a very simple thing. It's not complex. But removing factual information, truthful information from the public means that the public will have to rely upon, or can't rely, but have to rely upon corrupted information, lies, fake news. We all know it by now.
Mm. I think the in my opinion, Julian is so dangerous because what he did with WikiLeaks is something that has never been done before. I mean, all journalists look for stories where they can show that something has been corrupt, or they trying to at least not all, yeah, but most of the journalists would go for a story where they can show there had been corruption and so on. But what WikiLeaks is kind of a news agency of these information. It's not some people digging it up. And I remember that famous conversation between Bush's brain, what's his name, and Mr. Süskind, a journalist, where Rush Limbaugh, where he said, "You journalists, you dig up stuff, and while you do it, and you are very tedious, and you talk about enlightenment, and while you dig up one story, we have done 10 new things, and you are losing, we are winning, because you cannot cope with us." And that was really the qualitative change that WikiLeaks brought, that suddenly it was, as I said, like a news agency of these kind of informations. And it was a brilliant idea to do it. You can dump your info in here and we just distribute it. And so that should have been, that the media should have been very happy about that. And the government should have thought, if they had any wisdom, that's what democracy is about. So, but the reaction is so different. What do you think about it?
No, well, that's interesting. That statement, we are an empire now, and yeah, what we do, you investigate and analyze, but we're on to the next thing. Well, WikiLeaks reversed that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Completely reversed it. So with the assistance of, well, your publishing house, they reversed it completely, and the government's run around trying to cover up, trying to smear, trying to hide from the facts that WikiLeaks and Julian and others illuminate about their corrupt behavior and their murderous plans. I don't use the word murderous lightly. There's I think it's 8 countries have been destroyed in the last 19 years.
Being in Germany, and I think you heard that yesterday already, if I recall it correctly, we have the case of Ossietzky, who won the Nobel Peace Prize and was put to jail because he reported on the illegal, at that time, Versailles Treaty, rearmament of Germany. And then he was there, I think, for 13 months in the beginning, and they kept him in there, and it was a concentration camp. In the end, he was released and then put back in. He died in there. We have the case of Cardinal Mincenti in Hungary in 1956, who had to flee to an embassy to not be taken up by the Stalinist Soviet policemen, if you want to call them like that. You have Andrei Sakharov, who had to move from the Soviet Union to the West. And it seems it's a little bit weird. Now it's the opposite. Edward Snowden has to seek refuge in Germany, and we have kind of a Soviet feeling here. What about you?
The support, putting it in Australia, Emily Smethurst, the reporter for the ABC, her house was raided because she reported on some activities in the Defence Department. The ABC was raided by the police. So these things happened immediately after Julian was arrested, the same week. So that, if that's their intention, it seems to me that's their intention. I think in France some journalists were jailed. That's their intention, to stop the flow of news. In the case of Europe, just with Julian's circumstance, WikiLeaks was first registered as an association in France. Its first court case to allow it to publish was in France. They won that court case. The cables and the Afghan and Iraq war files, they were prepared for publication in the UK, in London. The publishers were Der Spiegel, El Pais, Le Monde, New York Times, and The Guardian. All of these, except the New York Times, were European publications. If this thing with Julian, God forbid, would go ahead, the entirety of the Europe is intimidated, because it costs, you know, it'll cost to free Julian will probably cost $10 million. And not many, because Julian has worldwide support, the money can be raised, and many lawyers and journalists work for free. But ordinary journalists faced with that intimidating prospect of extradition can't fight it. They have to make deals. They can't fight it because the resources are too demanding. Publishing executives facing extradition, they know that they're next in the line after the journalists, can't fight it. Julian is both a publishing executive and a journalist, WikiLeaks Publishing. So all of Europe will be intimidated into silence about the doings of the United States, the fake trade deals. You saw yesterday that Jeremy Corbyn released the secret negotiations of the Johnson government, the Boris Johnson government, with the United States pharmacy industry over the National Health Service. He was going to sell, Boris Johnson was going to sell it to the United States. Corbyn was able to release it and publish it. The publishers published it. So we know, in circumstances like that, the United States will be able to ordinarily forbid publication because the costs of publishing are just frightening.
I mean, then that's also, we talked about the governments and about wars, but really it's also an issue of the governing force of the economy, the neoliberal idea that is also in danger because of WikiLeaks. So there's that's another front that Julian Assange has to face, right?
Neoliberalism has been, I understand, since the Hartz Accord in Germany, but all over the Western world, for 40 years has been reducing the ordinary capacity for people to go about their lives successfully and constrain them into credit. So when the government won't emit money into the community, we have to rely on credit. And credit grows in Australia. Credit grew to 197% of the GNP. It's a great crime against people. It reduces, I mean, education. People can't get access to education. You can't. The pensions are no longer sufficient. An interesting thing in the United Kingdom, the pension for women was reduced from 65 to 60 years of age. And what Jeremy Corbyn did is said, well, if we win government, we think this was a wrong thing to do. We will repay everybody. So all of the women over 60 would get all of the pension they miss out. I think it's been $15,000 and £30,000. It'll put $55 billion back into the United Kingdom. So it'll spent into and cause a rise in economic activity. So certain parts of the political parties recognise what neoliberalism has done, but certainly no right-wing newspapers so far have caught on to that their societies are being crushed by this heinous ideology.
Were there also cases that, or have you heard, I mean, you must have also some background information. I guess a lot of people, they take sides. Either they're with you or they're with the government, but you must have a lot of people who are on your side. Other reasons why Julian Assange is so much targeted. Is this the case for example, companies who can be... WikiLeaks also published stuff on, let's say, corruption and so on. So is this another instance why he is so dangerous? Why he is the enemy of the state number one?
Yes, I agree with that. The good example I already gave is Trafigura, who were making money ruining the lives of coastal East Africans. I mean, they know these toxic chemicals dumped off the coast reduce the living standard or the ability to live. They know it, but they would rather go to the club and have another brandy. So Julian exposes this attitude to other human lives. WikiLeaks exposes it, and your publications expose it.
How did the situation evolve? Do you feel that that there's more consciousness? I mean, at least we had this hearing in the German parliament yesterday with the dire absence of the Green Party, which is terrible, yeah? But all of the other parties should have been there too, because this is not really a political issue. Or do you think WikiLeaks has a political stance?
No, I mean, WikiLeaks has no political stance. Well, you leak the information and they release it to the best of their ability so it gets the maximum amount of coverage. If you take the risk, they will do everything to fulfill your wish to publish this information. It's an extraordinary organization.
If you believe in democracy, if you believe in power, then it's a very dangerous organization. So I think the reaction also tells something about it. We're about through with the time. Thank you very much. And we have a saying in Germany that journalists should never take sides. In this case, I think because it's a foundation of democracy, I would say we have 30 years of the wall coming down. So my request would be, Mr. Trump, tear down this prison wall and set Julian Assange free. Thank you very much, Mr. Thank you, Doug. This was another edition of Missing Link, and good night and good luck, I would say, in this case.